that metal interview.
You Keep Me Hanging On is the hit song that Vanilla Fudge had as a huge, huge hit in the late 60s and remains as a huge landmark for classic rock. Vanilla Fudge is the name of the band, and our guest is the lead vocalist and keyboardist, Mr. Mark Stein. Yes, the legendary classic rock frontman, Mr. Mark Stein, lead vocalist and keyboardist and arranger for Vanilla Fudge. And he later on went on to work with also Alice Cooper, in case some of you might know that story and the band's history. So Vanilla Fudge is our focus for this episode of That Metal Interview. Let's check out the interview with Mr. Mark Stein. Enjoy. Thank you for making time, and well, you're a true living legend for sure in the music business. So, congrats on that. And you guys
have
influenced so many bands. You know, I've seen interviews with different bands like Deep Purple, you know, Zeppelin, Yes, Styx, and you know, a bunch of bands that talked about you guys as an influence. You know, how does that feel?
Feels great. I mean, you know, I know Deep Purple, John Lord, God rest his soul. I know he was a fan of mine.
Yeah.
When he was young, and Deep Purple used to come to see Vanilla Fudge in England, and at one time, Deep Purple were known as the English Vanilla Fudge. You know.
Yeah.
And I know we were a direct influence, and John and I were friends over the years, and I was really sad when he passed. You know. You know, bands like Uriah Heep.
Yeah.
Also, you know, talk about Fudge as a big influence on them, and I guess my Hammond too, you know, was a big thing for Ken Hensley, and you know, a lot of bands. I guess Yes, I've read. It's a good feeling, you know, and I'm wondering why, you know, the Fudge has not been even, you know, nominated to be in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, it's supposed to be about the influences, and that, I mean, that's what I would think we should be, and a lot of people think we should be in there. But anyway, that be it as it may, I am flattered that we're looked upon as one of the influences in early classic rock.
That's so cool.
Bands.
That must be a great feeling. I mean, because those are some of the biggest bands in the world right there. I mean, Zeppelin, you know, Purple and all that. That's so awesome. So awesome.
Oh, Zeppelin opened for us. We broke them in.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. If you can share a story from that, you know, can you share a story from that experience?
Yeah, well, back in 68 when Jimmy Page left the Yardbirds, he came to the United States with three unknowns by the name of John Bonham, Robert Plant, and John Paul Jones.
Wow.
Jimmy Page was a famous guitar player from the Yardbirds, and he was a very top session guy in England, along with John Paul Jones, too. So they signed a deal with Atlantic Records, and we were label mates, and you know, I think the first date they played was opening for Vanilla Fudge. I can tell you specifically, it was December 26, 1968 in Denver.
Wow.
Okay? So it's pretty cool. And, yeah, they opened for the Fudge. They used to hang out with us, and they really enjoyed our music and our stage presence. And, you know, I saw this band, you know, go from, you know, a new shabby kind of right around the ears band, and they got their stuff together really quick, and their confidence grew really quickly, and you know, I witnessed the dawn of Led Zeppelin and saw them break out into what became the biggest band on the planet. You know, it was pretty amazing.
For sure, huh? Wow, what a story, what an experience right there.
It was. We used to have fun partying together when we were kids, and you know, I used to play guitar a little bit for fun. You know, one night Jimmy Page gave me his Gibson Les Paul, the Sunburst, right when he came off a concert in Vancouver, I remember, and he said, yeah, Mark, take it, have some fun, bring it to your room, but make sure you give it back to me in the morning before we leave. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
But there's all kinds of stories, you know.
Did you return it? Or?
Of course I did. Yeah.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah. Not just anybody can say that. Hey, I borrowed Jimmy Page's guitar, you know. That's awesome, man. So, take us back to the beginning of your career, if you will. At what age did you first pick up an instrument, or the keyboard, or know, at what point did you know you could sing?
Well, you know, when I was about 5 years old, I used to go to my uncle's house, he had a house that was real close to the Bay, the Newark Bay in Bayonne, New Jersey. He had an upright piano in his living room, and I used to love watching him play. You know, he was good. He was, played a lot of traditional stride kind of piano, and he used to read music and call fake books. And then he'd go into the kitchen, and I'd sneak over and start playing a little one-finger melodies. And I was just a kid, a little kid. But I had a natural ear for it, and then my dad took me to get accordion lessons.
Nice.
You know, when I was about nine, you know, which I really did not like. He wanted me to be a famous accordion player, but I really, after about a year, I hated it, you know. But I kind of got bitten by the rock and roll bug with Buddy Holly and, you know, Little Richard and all that stuff in the late 50s, and started getting into a rock and roll trip and started playing some guitar. But then I was in a band in high school, and we were playing a gig at Yale University, and there was this electric organ on the stage, and the drummer said, "Man, why don't you go over and, you know, rock out on that organ, you know, for the heck of it." So I did. Everybody went wild, and they said, "Man, forget about the guitar. You got to get on the keyboards, you know." So I was about 17 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And that's when I started getting that going. And, you know, I started listening to people like Jimmy Smith and, you know, Felix Cavalier from the Rascals. And when I went to see the Rascals in New York in 66, I was blown away. And I wanted to be Felix because he was so awesome. His voice and his playing was so soulful. So my dad helped me to get my first Hammond B3 organ. And I parked it on Tim Bogart's porch in Ridgefield, New Jersey. And I, you know, started learning how to play it and how to operate it. And, you know, That's how it all kind of started. And then we recruited the rest of the band, evolved from there. You know, if you want, I mean, you keep hanging on. The Raging Story of Rock Music's Golden Age is my book that's out on Amazon and my website. So the whole 50 years of rock and how it all transpired is all in there. So.
Okay, awesome. There you go.
Yeah.
We can find it online. Okay.
Yeah.
So, just a quick question. I play a little bit of accordion. Did you start playing the piano accordion or the other button accordion?
Well, it was the, I had the keyboard on the right side and the buttons on the left side.
Okay, yeah.
Traditional accordion, yeah.
Yeah, the traditional, yeah. Okay, yeah, I play a little bit of accordion myself. The other kind of accordion.
You know what? A lot of the keyboard players started out on that. Ray Manzarek,
yeah.
God rest his soul, from the Doors started out, you know, playing accordion. Yeah. A bunch of us started that way, you know.
Yeah, it's a different instrument. It's cool, you know. It's a cool instrument.
Yeah.
So what was your first gig?
My first gig?
Yeah, what was your first band gig?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
My first band gig, I guess, was, geez, I don't know, maybe at the World's Fair in 1964.
Wow.
But my high school band, I think, probably. Maybe that was one of the first gigs I played with a band. The band was called The Dynamics. And you know what? I still stay in touch with the guitar player and the drummer that was in that band. It's over half a century later because of the internet. So that's a pretty marvelous invention.
Wow. So 1964 is the beginning of pre-Vanilla Fudge. This is a...
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, and I got my singing chops together in the streets. I was a street singer when I was 14 years old. I had all, you know, the singing groups. They call it doo-wop now, but back then it was just singing groups. And we used to love all the, you know, the Spaniels and, you know, all these, and the Crests and, you know, all these. There's so many, I can't even name them all. The Del Vikings and... you know, these great vocals. I just had a natural ear for you know, teaching harmonies and hearing harmonies. And
yeah.
So that was a big precursor to Vanilla Fudge. Carmine was also in the street singing in Brooklyn when he was a kid. And, you know, Tim Bogart had a beautiful high voice, God rest his soul.
No.
And Vinnie Martella, guitar player, had a real solid, real thick, beautiful mid-range tone in his voice. And and we had a, we always had a, we had a great blend. You know, it was all influenced by a lot of the early singing groups from the late 50s and early 60s, you know.
So you guys are still together right now, right? The three the surviving members, right?
Yes. We just released our new Stop in the Name of Love, you know, psychedelic symphonic rock arrangement, which just came out 2 days ago, and it's getting some great reviews. A lot of people are loving it, you know.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Actually, it sounds pretty heavy, man.
Yeah.
Came out pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff, yeah, for sure. So, obviously, you guys are known for Keep Me Hanging On, a great song, of course. Talk to us about the success that came with that. How did your life change back then? Was there a quick change in your lifestyle?
Oh, it was a very quick change. Because when we were kids, you know, growing up, you know, early teenagers, you know, we always had dreams of becoming pop stars, you know. But then, the coin, the phrase rock star, was 20 years later when that phrase came out. It was pop stars in those days. So that's what we wanted to be, you know. We aspired to be that. We worked hard, and we were influenced by, you know, all the great bands around us. We developed our own style. You know, we came up with this arrangement for You Keep Me Hanging On, which was an instant classic back then. I mean, it was played on the radio.
Yeah.
And the underground radio went wild with that first album, you know, and opened up the floodgates for, you know, really with progressive rock to follow, you know.
Wow. So who, you just mentioned influences. Who do you point at as your influence?
Well, the early influence was the Rascals, you know, with Felix Cavalieri on organ and vocals, and the great Dino Danelli on drums, which was a big influence on Carmine with rock. You know, and Gene Cornish, the guitar player, influenced Vinnie Martell from the Fudge, and Eddie Brigati was a really cool vocalist and frontman. And then there was a time I went and saw Leslie West's band called The Vagrants. And I started seeing them add drama to other people's songs, slowing songs down and creating dynamics. And they were amazing at doing that, and that's what really heavily influenced me to want to get into rearranging songs. So that's when I first started getting into it. And I used to have all these ideas used to come to me, and I used to get together with Vinnie Martell and Tim Bogert and Carmine, you know, and present my ideas, and everybody would you know, put some icing on the cake, as it were.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We that very first Fudge album was all, you know, it was all songs that were rearranged, you know, Beatles songs and Motown songs and Sonny and Cher songs. And that first record came out, and you know, it took the world by storm. So the first album to hit the top 10 in Billboard without a hit single, because Keep Me Hanging On came out as an edited version, but it didn't. It went up to about number 80, and it fell off the charts, you know.
Yeah.
And it was re-released about 18 months later, and it went all the way to the top of the charts. But at that time,
wow, awesome.
Yeah, and it helped pull the album way up on the charts along with the other albums that we had out. And we you know, we toured with Hendrix, man, in 68. That was a big tour. We had tremendous exposure. We were at our young prime back then.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, we played a lot of shows opening for Jimi Hendrix, the Hollywood Bowl and Coliseums all through the Northwest. And it was an incredible thing for a bunch of young guys, and it was really exciting. And, you know, we were right in the center of the pop music universe, you know. All the bands from that era. It was so cool.
So what was Jimi Hendrix like? Did you get to...
Jimi was a great guy, man. We used to hang out. We used to, like, jam a little together. We used to hang out with him after a show. We'd have pizza, you know, a couple of beers, and smoke a little stuff, you know. And yep. It was great being young. It was great being in the middle of all of that. And Jimi was a very friendly, open guy, you know. And he was... tremendous, you know, guitar aficionado, obviously, and his records were today are still incredible. Some of the most incredible productions, you know, from that era. I still love his records.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a huge thing going on back then, and the touring with Zeppelin and you know, all the bands. You know, Alice Cooper opened for us, Three Dog Night opened for us. You know, Canned Heat. You name it. So many bands came through Vanilla Fudge and went on to become, you know, a lot bigger than Vanilla Fudge was. But
Yeah.
We kind of hold the crown of influence. A lot of influence came from us, you know?
That's for sure. So, yeah. So I read you guys were called the Pigeons at first, right before you got, when you got signed, right? So why did you have to change it? Who didn't like the name?
Well, Ahmed Erdogan, the late great Ahmed Erdogan, you know, thought that, you know, you have to come up with a better name. That name was given to us by, you know, a guy by the name of Jeff Barry, who was a very famous and successful producer and songwriter in the early, late 50s, early 60s in New York. But to make a long story short, when we started, you know, getting a buzz with our symphonic rock arrangements, Ahmed Erdogan from Atlantic, after we were signed to ATCO, said, you got to change the name. And we came up with the name Vanilla Fudge, and he didn't like the name. He said, it's not, I don't like it. It's not strong enough. But you know what? You know, when you think about white guys doing soul music with a psychedelic twist, I think the name is actually, in retrospect, pretty appropriate, you know?
Very cool name, for sure.
Yeah.
So you guys recorded about five albums in the 60s, late 60s, that is, and disbanded in 70, give or take. What was the reason then for people asking, the people that don't know, right? Why did you guys, I don't want to say break up?
We got burnt out.
Yeah.
You know? We just got burnt out. We were constantly touring, and you know, the creativity started to wane. And Carmine and Timmy were developing as an incredible rhythm section, so they wanted to go on their own, and so they did. Uh-huh. You know, with Depp Beck and Cactus and the bands that they formed, and
Cactus, yeah.
And I kind of,
Cactus, yeah.
Yeah, Cactus. So then he kind of went off on his own, and I went off on my own, and I had a band, my solo band called Boomerang, and
yeah,
it was like a really cool, you know, on record. It was like a Whitesnake, Deep Purple kind of English rock kind of influenced band, and it was kind of ill-fated. The band live wasn't really good, but it was a really good record. We actually opened for Emerson, Lake and Palmer at the Providence Arena in '71, which was a mind-altering experience for me when I first saw Keith Emerson with his amazing keyboard setup. I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
It like blew me away, you know? And,
wow.
So I kind of like, after that band broke up, I went into a hiatus and I just started, moved to California with my wife, Patty. And, I just kind of wanted to be Elton John. Actually, I started writing songs and do it that way. And then, I got back touring with, a young great guitar player by the name of Tommy Bolin.
Okay.
And he was the hottest thing on guitar back in the 70s. So he formed a solo band when he left Deep Purple, and I was grateful to be part of it, along with Norton Michael Walden, the incredible drummer who became the biggest producer of the 80s, you know. And Norma Jean Bell, Frank Zappa's band on sax and vocals, and Reggie McBride from Stevie Wonder's band. That was a hell of a band, man, a short-lived band, too. It's like a, you know, progressive rock.
Yeah.
All kinds of elements in that band made a lot of noise. But over the years, I went on to record and tour with Dave Mason, Alice Cooper. I did a tour with Alice Cooper. I've made appearances with Steve Miller and Deep Purple and Michael Jackson. I even sang with. I got him to sing on a track with me and Dave Mason. So
really?
I got a history of some, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So I read, I've heard that you guys had a couple of different reunions here and there. But some of those were without you. So do you think that was right, or did you approve of that, or did it have another guy?
Well, that's it. That's kind of a dark time in the Vanilla Fudge history, you know. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately what me not in it became like a Vanilla Fudge tribute band. That's what people called it, you know. I'd rather not get into why it happened, but it did happen.
Yeah.
And then it kind of healed itself. I rejoined the band in 2005.
Yeah.
And we went on, the original band reformed in 2005. We went on to tour with the Doors of the 21st Century, which was really cool.
Yeah, I saw that. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So give us your best gig and your worst gig.
Oh, man. My best gig, probably the Ed Sullivan Show off the top of my head. That was our best gig.
I saw that, yeah. Awesome.
Because we were seen in, you know, multitudes and millions of people, you know, everyone's household on Sunday night. And that made us a household name that night. We came off really great, and our album soared up the charts because of all the exposure. So right at the top of my head, that had been our best gig at the time. My worst gig, that's, I don't know, man. I have to think about that one.
Yeah.
My worst gig. Geez, I don't know. I have to plead the fifth on that one.
That's fine. So is there any plans for a new album with the three surviving members of Fudge? Anything the fans can expect next as an album?
Well, we might be doing some more tracks. We'll have to see how it all plays out. You know, the pandemic is really put a terrible button on everybody's lips, man. You know, we were going to go out and do two shows, like the 30th of this month and the 1st of October in Illinois, but I just got the notice today that they were canceled. They were postponed because of COVID, so who knows? So we had all these dates in October and November coming up, and we're hoping they're going to stick, but right now we'll have to wait and see, you know?
Yeah, it's some strange times we're living in, so it's kind of, it's a weird...
I mean, we 2 years went by. We didn't play in 2 years. I mean, the whole industry went to hell for yeah. 2 years.
Horrible for me.
It was like $10 billion we lost in the entertainment industry. It was really disgusting.
Horrible, yeah, for sure.
You know?
Hopefully things, clear up and, you know, maybe bands can... Some bands are on the road, of course, but, you know...
Some bands are on the road, but look at Kiss. They were on the road and, Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
And what's his face?
Stanley, yeah.
Paul Stanley got COVID. They had to cancel.
Yeah, I saw that,
And I saw the Association, classic rock band, one of the cats. The last I heard, he was in a hospital from COVID. They had to cancel that tour, so... These are very dangerous times, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wish people would get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I just think it makes a big difference because, you know, the lion's share of the people that are getting deathly ill are the unvaccinated communities, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it's an individual choice, but if you look at the science and you look at the record, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, to me, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully things clear up and we get a better clear road for touring one day soon. Right? You know, we're all hoping for that, all us rock fans and, you know.
Yeah, and also, I might as well tell you, I got a solo album that's coming out, which I'm really excited about on Deco Entertainment, Deco Records. It's the name of the album is called There's a Light, and it's really my first major solo album, and my single, We Are One, which... It's a story about the times we live in. It should be coming out in about a month with a new video. And
cool.
I think the album should be out around the holidays or maybe first of the year next year. But that's a project that I'm very hopeful for. And I think fans are going to enjoy.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Perfect for people listening. You know, there you go. A new release from Mark about a month from now, right? You said?
Yeah.
Well, would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
I want to thank all the fans for being behind the Fudge, Vanilla Fudge and Classic Rock for all these decades. And I wish everyone good health and, you know, be safe. And just keep listening to the music. We'll keep rocking. You keep coming to see us. We're going to keep playing. And we'll be putting out, you know, more music as the months and years evolve. And, you know... Life is short, so let's have some fun, and let's keep rocking.
There you go, Mark. Appreciate that. And keep bringing the same badass rock and roll to us fans, and we truly appreciate you, man.
All right, man. I appreciate all of that.
All right, we'll see you on the road, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
An honor, indeed. An honor. Those are not enough words to express my gratitude and to express how great of a feeling it is to speak to an actual legend, man. I mean... This guy has influenced people like Led Zeppelin. Yes, he's influenced, by Yes, I mean the band Yes. And he's also influenced, it's been documented, John Lord. May he rest in peace. John Lord of Deep Purple also has pointed to Mr. Mark Stein and Vanilla Fudge as influences. So, and if you pay attention to Deep Purple stuff and Zeppelin stuff, I mean, you can hear the influences. And Vanilla Fudge was there first before all these bands, man. So what an honor right there, man. So awesome. So anyways, we hope you guys enjoyed our interview with Mr. Mark Stein, lead vocalist, keyboardist, and arranger for Vanilla Fudge. And don't forget to subscribe, share, and don't forget to keep it metal.
Metal Interview.